Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee, the podcast on the business of video production.
Creatives Grab Coffee is hosted by Dario Nuri and Kirill Lazarov from Labs Productions. Our goal is to share knowledge and experiences from video production professionals around the world. Whether you're a freelancer looking to start your own business or a seasoned business owner aiming to scale your company, this is the show for you.
Join us as we develop a community of like-minded creatives looking to learn and help each other grow. Welcome to the business of video production. Welcome to Creatives Grab Coffee.
Before we get started with the show, let's go over today's sponsors.
Do you have a shoot in Toronto? Do you need crew or a strong production partner to help you with your project? Labs Productions is one of the top production companies in Toronto and your go-to video partner.
With our strong creative skills and extensive network, we can help you achieve your goal. Labs Productions is able to offer you production services, white label services, or finder fees for project handoffs.
Reach out to us on our website at lapsproductions.com to learn more.
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group van packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We're more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. And we're all gonna have a real good time.
And now, let's begin the show.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. Today we have Amir Khani from AK Films, and he is our first guest from Dubai. Amir, welcome to the show.
Dario, you got to restart it. You just mispronounced his name.
What do you mean? Amir.
We were just talking about that, but I'm good.
You said it as Amir.
Did I say Amir or Amir?
You kind of said it as Amir a little bit.
Amir, yeah.
Oh, really?
Take two.
This is staying in the episode.
Actually, I would love to start with that. I'm happy to start with that.
You know, the thing is, for the record, I'm not wearing my glasses right now, so I see his name on the bottom right, bottom left. So I'm going to blame it on the glasses. I don't have the glasses on right now.
You're going to blame it.
But anyways, I'll do like a quick restarting here. But guys, welcome to another episode. Today we have Amir Khani from AK Films. And again, first guest from Dubai. Amir, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Dario. Thank you, Carol, for inviting me. So excited to be a part of your podcast.
We were going really international right now because we did all the English-speaking countries. Now we're going to do all the non-English-speaking countries.
Yeah, now conquering
and
Dubai.
See who knows it.
Taking over the Middle East.
Yeah, you're our first stop there.
Yeah, so, well, that's an honor. Later in the future, they would say, and that show that took over the Middle East started with Amir Khani.
Exactly. Yeah. Give us a little kind of like backstory into you and your company over in Dubai.
Okay. Well, how far back do you want to go? Because I'm a mumbler. I would not stop.
How your parents met. Let's go with that. Yeah. Well,
that's the original Bruce Wayne story, guys. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me try to summarize as much as possible without going on side talks here. So, Anonymous Night Films that also have my initials. Yeah, that was in purpose, okay, or on purpose. And started officially like around 2017, 2018, around that. Before that brand name was circulating around because I was a producer back then using that name as well. So I kind of had a future long-term plan that I'm gonna start a company, and for that I wanted to circulate the name first, and officially 2018 we started and got hot and operational around the pandemic time, before things went down a bit. Myself, I come from around 12, 13 years plus of experience in production. And I come from, even from back school experience, if you want to say it, but not film school. So yeah, let me save you the time to ask the question. I haven't went to film school. I'm a filmmaker who done it on his own. I think many are. And I got into this industry around 2015. I started early at college years, but then switched back to my field of study, which is computer and communications. So I'm an engineer, and then couldn't take it. This is where my heart is. So I went back and started off here in UAE. And now here we are. I call myself the creative director of Anonymous Night Films. And I'm a filmmaker as well. So I'm a director and writer.
It's interesting. It's like a very similar time frame as like when we started, but also very similar kind of, as we say, origin story. You know, you're in one program and you're trying to make that work, but it's like, nah, it's like this little tug, you know, it's like, let me try to pull you into like video production.
I call it the itch. There is an itch. Yeah. Something's wrong.
You got to scratch the itch.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I guess for us over here, we're a little bit curious about like what the market is like over there in Dubai, because I mean we focus on corporate work and like what's it like over there, like what are the main industries like?
Well, you named it, Dario. It is more of a corporate work around here. I'll put it on a kind of time scale, just to simplify it. Here in the Gulf, not just Dubai, but in the Gulf region in general, cinema has kind of started losing its place bit by bit, being replaced by media and commercials and corporate productions. So the main industry when it comes to production in UAE is corporate productions of all forms. Even the most creative one still falls under corporate productions. Where cinema is kind of losing touch over years for many reasons. Like you feel like even the government kind of bailed on it a bit. Of course, I'm talking specifically Dubai. Abu Dhabi is still trying their best, you know, to bring big titles in and to co-produce and to be part of the big cinema march. But for Dubai, yeah, if you see somebody who's in production, 99% he's in media, in corporate work, and doing great. Now, what makes it cool is that it is the of highest standards. So I'm not sure about what's the case in Canada, but given that it's Canada, I would pretty much be positive about that. It is of high standards over there as well. So you would be surprised that even though it's a small country, but it's way developed in this industry. Like latest equipment are always here. Top-notch studios are absolutely here. Latest and like most fiery technology when it comes to production is here. And let's say skillful professionals are here as well. So every day, I've been in UAE since 2012, and every day I meet someone who just surprises me of how skillful and how knowledgeable he is, even though it would be like, ooh, that's weird. Where did you learn all that? So out of a sudden, it's just new tech. Yeah, so that's how it is in the match.
You've pretty much like grown with the video and film industry in Dubai. Because I remember the very first time I saw any kind of media or content that came out from Dubai was that Mission Impossible film where they filmed Tom Cruise on the side of the Burj Khalifa.
Absolutely.
And I think that was in like 2010, 2011, something like that. And then I think after that, I started seeing an explosion of content on YouTube from like a lot of independent YouTubers and filmmakers that were early adopters, like going there, filming a lot of content. And then obviously all of Hollywood and media just started like blasting through there. And you pretty much grew with the industry. So like, how did you see it change in that sense?
That's a great question. And it's the most famous, but actually not the latest. So there are many recent makes and like, you know, motion picture productions and titles were made the year. But of course, yeah, this one where Tom Cruise himself did the stunt on Burj Khalifa, this is going to be something for people to remember. I'll explain it in a kind of, again, historical fashion. This is the way I see it. So 10, 15 years ago, there were three major film festivals in the area. And I'm talking, when I say area, I mean UAE. Gulf Film Festival, Gulf International Film Festival, Abu Dhabi International Film Festival, and Dubai International Film Festival. 5 years. So 10 years from now, we lose Gulf International Film Festival. Then 3-4 years in, they completely shut down Abu Dhabi International Film Festival. And 6 years ago, or 5 years ago, they shut down Dubai International Film Festival, which, by the way, it was an Oscar qualifying festival. So it was kind of a powerful one. And it is indeed the festival when it comes to UAE. When the days of DIFF happens, like the whole country is talking about it, you know? It's the festival where all big names, all celebrities and stuff, all big titles come over. And again, it's listed as an Oscar-qualified film festival, so it's something. But today, we have none. So all three are gone.
No film festivals?
No, only some local, domestic ones. Like there is a Lion Film Festival. There are some small ones.
Right.
But the main ones, the big festivals, aren't here anymore. So I grew with it for sure. And I witnessed it demolishing in size. I did. It breaks my heart because I live here. My life is here. My family is here. And I want to do more cinema in the country that I live in. But at the moment, it's more focused on international names. Like most big names that gets filmed in UAE actually go to Abu Dhabi. Because Abu Dhabi is also pretty known for their sand dunes and desert. And so, for example, the latest dunes his name Denis Villeneuve. So, so it was partially filmed here. It was actually not partially. It was mostly filmed here because it had to be in a proper desert. But it happens only on co-producing capacity. It happens on rebate capacity. By the way. Which is pretty interesting because that's how they encourage big titles to work by offering rebates and stuff. But the benefit that comes behind it, because there is a huge benefit, is that local talents and local production companies get to work on big titles because of that. So there are big names here. Like, for example, on top of my head, Filmworks, one of the biggest production houses here. Filmworks is actually involved in many big titles that were filmed in UAE. Star Trek, and the list goes on. So cinema is a big thing here, but it has lost the touch of making films here and focus more on contributing to films where they actually, you know, are being made. So instead of focusing on making films here or pushing the talents here. Now, by the way, there are still films that are being made. Don't get me wrong.
My recent one, Ali Mustafa, is one of the famous directors here. And he was just doing one that is called City of Life. So now there is a second second episode. It's called City of Life 2. So there are films that are being made, but not for the focus of having, as I mentioned, international film festivals, and not for the focus of being big around the world and trying to attract big names. No, working with whoever is available. So you can think of it as indie films, mm-hmm. give or take. Yeah?
Let's kind of go a bit more into corporate, because that's what we like to focus on a lot. What kind of industries are pretty much predominant there for the corporate industry?
Can you explain more? What do you mean?
Yeah, for example, here in Toronto, it's pretty diverse in terms of the different types of industries that a lot of the production companies do work for. I know in some of the American states that we've had on, there was a big nonprofit industry. What's it like over there? Is it diverse or is it specific,
very much diverse?
Yeah, okay.
Very much diverse, actually. When it comes to corporate productions, you never know what kind of industry you'll be working with, but you work with everything. So it's not mainly focused on some industries. Everybody now wants a piece of production. You know, with the introduction of social media, it has turned into a must. Even if you run a socks fabrication factory, you gotta be on the internet. That's what people say. You gotta promote, and for that, you gotta hire people who make productions. So yeah, diverse, pretty much.
So now there's been kind of a boom in the corporate sector, as you mentioned, because the film industries have kind of lowered down. It's become now a huge focus on the corporate side of things, which it's obviously good for anyone who's working in corporate video production in Dubai, because there's a lot of money to go around and to kind of help the businesses thrive.
Good and bad, because now you have all the other
people. But also there's the competition. Yeah, I was going to say, because that was the one thing about the boom with Dubai. It almost became like a destination for a lot of companies to try to create content there. And a lot of brands are probably coming into Dubai with their own teams as well. I'm guessing. I'm not sure. Do you find it that there's a lot of international competition coming in, or also what is the local competition like in Dubai?
I love the question, Carol, because actually this is one of the hardest things to cope with living in this part of the world. Competition is actually the slogan. If I want to call Dubai, the slogan will be competition is here. Because yes, it is a hot point for everyone from around the world. And I mean it literally. You can see it when you post a job role on LinkedIn and you see people from all around the world wanting in, even if it's as small as being an office admin for crying out loud.
Wow.
So competition is actually becoming a bit of a burden, because it allows for freshness. I always give it to competition that it actually filters away the non-competent ones, which is good. And it allows for only the good ones and the pros to float on the surface and yet also provide great work. But what happens with that is, I'm pretty sure people in the industry who would be looking at this would resonate much with it, even though many people would hate to say it. So I'm gonna be very, very blunt and transparent about it. Competition has introduced a kind of noise, because now you have kind of two markets in one market. Market one is the pros who work in companies, professional media production houses, who are more experienced and who have the know-how of doing things in a proper way, the B2B style, because production is not only related to how creative you are. It's related to how can you get this creativity through to your client, who can be of any sort of industry. So they don't necessarily have to know much about creative. But there is the second thing, which is independent, freelance. And why would that be appealing to industries? Cutting off some costs. expenses. So one of the things that you might want to know about UAE is that it's not a cheap country when it comes to production. It's pretty much on the higher part when it comes to the rates. So what can be, for example, in North America, what can be a day shoot of, I'm not sure about the numbers, but I'm just going to make an assumption. What can be 1K per day for a pro, let's say, professional in any sort, like a cameraman, for example, videographer. Here it's kind of like 150% of that or even more. So it is a high pay country, and yet it is an expensive one. So when it comes to professional, it's pretty expensive. And this doesn't always work, because 90%, or just to be accurate, I don't want to be saying numbers that sound really crazy. Let's say 75% of companies in UAE are SMEs, small to medium enterprises. And for them, cost is kind of everything, especially that they have to pay a lot to get some production going. So when they can't cut it through production houses, they have to find other means. And these other means are mainly freelancers. Now, freelancers are great in this country. Many freelancers work with us, actually. But the noise they introduce allow for many noise, for many incompetent personnel to flee the market, or like flood the market.
Yeah.
So this is where, like, to summarize it, to put it in a real life scenario, we, for example, a company A contacts AK Films for some reason. Hi guys, we need this. Blah blah blah. Discover it. Okay, quotation. That's too high. Thank you. They go and hire somebody. They come next time. Hi, AK Films. Blah blah blah. We want the same project. Can you quote for us? Yeah, it's the same code. Okay, great. Let's go for it. You know, the kind of the scenario where shut up and take my money, and it would be, while we get to know them, work with them, we'd be like, what happened? Did you didn't go through the project or so? No, we did, but we had to work with freelancers. Now, not all freelancers are bad, but actually most of them are good. So I'm just clarifying that. But they lack the business skills kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that noise that is introduced in the market makes its way to the decision makers, to be very skeptical about making the final call. It takes time to get a project approved. It takes time to kick it in because of the competition. So I may have just took you through a bit of a crazy journey on that, but because actually that's what happens. The competition makes that market.
It slows the
always
process.
Have like a, like, you know, a heartache or something. They don't know what to do, so they have to go back and forth.
Yeah, it definitely slows the process for companies that are looking for these types of services. And you basically introduced a lot of challenges that are being faced all over the world as well, which is essentially a lot of small to medium-sized businesses. Their budgets are getting tighter and tighter, more constrained. So they're trying to find the best potential bang for buck. And unfortunately, as you said, because all the really high quality and really good people are going to have a baseline that is much higher than normal, anyone new coming in with a smaller budget, you know, like it's like low enough that companies are going to start to look into that. But then they face that same problem, like you said, you know, not enough business skills, not enough experience to kind of execute on that.
It's a roller coaster and a dilemma that we live by every day nowadays. And it hasn't been like that over the years. So yeah, it kind of like now it maxed out. We can see it happening more. And this is because of the international talents being attracted to the market. So too many people are working. Actually, we receive emails, messages, WhatsApps every day from people coming from out of the country saying that we are here, we want to collaborate, we want to work with you, and we're coming from this and that and that. And there is no country, name the country, people always want to come here. I think financially the whole world still have some issues, not only UAE. So people try to look for higher pay places. And this place is famous for that. So
are they companies though that like want to move, like relocate to there, or they just have a shoot there and they just want to connect for that
or just
reason?
For fun?
Relocate, I don't think so. I think they just reopen here as a hub. But actually, when you talk about shooting particularly, we work with many companies from outside UAE. Actually, most of our clients are from outside of UAE, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Believe it or not.
Because I mean, we believe it. Why would we not believe that?
Sounds like I'm challenging you. Believe it. No. But literally, that's the case. Many of our clients come from the outside to handle shoots for domestic companies.
Right. So why is that? Because there's enough competition there where the price, I mean, you could probably find like people within your price range, right? So why do they have to go outside?
100%. Now, I think the main reason is that even companies who are here, they usually, the ones that I told you about, they open hubs here. They open just like UAE branch just to be in the Middle East, because geographically, UAE is in a central place. So it's good for companies that want to actually, expand their reach around the world. If you are in the US, you're far off. But with a small office with 4 or 5 people maybe that represents you in UAE, you have a chance now to connect to the rest part of the world. So I think these companies that are here, that are hiring companies from outside to come and hire us back to do the shoots, are basically incapable of doing that here. They are understaffed. They don't have anybody who they trust. They don't know what rate. Because again, small offices, they are not the main branches. They're not HQs. So they have to go and deal with companies that they know in their own countries, in their mainland. And then these companies, because they are production houses or agencies or marketing houses who know their way around the world, have fixers everywhere, come and find a local provider and work with them. Yeah.
Right.
I have a question. I heard this from another guest, but is it true that because what I heard from this guest was that if you get hired by like an agency in Dubai to go do work there, you as the production company would need to front a certain percentage of the total cost of the project, which you would then get back after the shoot is done. Is that true?
Explain that so that I am 100%.
This is
sure.
What it sounded weird to me. I don't even
it
know
sounds
if I'm
weird
explaining
the way you're.
I don't even know
it,
if I'm explaining it properly. But basically, they told me that if you're not a local company from Saudi Arabia and you get hired by an agency to go there and do a production,
a local agency.
Front... No. So, for example, if you are a company in Canada, like a production company.
Yeah.
And you get hired by an agency in Dubai to do a project there.
Oh, okay.
You would have to front like a certain percentage of the cost of the project of which you're getting paid for. Is that true or?
Oh, but, okay. Like, not if you put it that way, but let me tell you the legal way of it. So if you want to do a production in UAE, you got to commission a local company.
Ah, okay.
So, for example, you guys are Warner Brothers Studios, let's say, and you want to come to Dubai. Yeah, let's dream big. And you want to come to Dubai to shoot a film. You can't get the permits. You don't have you are not legally allowed to. You have to commission a local production house that has to do all the paperwork for you, even if everybody you're getting is from outside the country. It's like you don't need crew, you don't need equipment, you don't need staff, you don't need anything. You have your locations, you have your everything. You just need a local fixer, a domestic company that represents you, then in that way, in this case, yes, a local company has to represent you in front of in UAE. And with that, of course, you've got to be paying them. But you're paying them for a service. It's like more of like a facilitation service. But when when you put it in a way that you have to just offer a percentage or so, I don't think that's how it works. No, it's okay. Way under light that crazy stuff like that would be caught easily. So yeah, no one wants to jeopardize it by making it crazy like that. They want people to want to come here. They want people to come and wanna shoot here. So yeah, the only catch is actually they try to encourage or let's say add value to the to local production houses by making them the only go-to when it comes to international productions. And I think it's only fair because if you see an international production house coming in and shooting and no one is involved and you are a production house who's looking for some work, you feel like, oh, come on, come on.
Yeah. At least no, makes sense.
So it makes sense, yeah. But that's the extent of it, no more than that.
I'm actually also curious because you're talking about all the production companies in Dubai itself, because of also how expensive it can be to hire teams and stuff like that and people even just to bring them on as staff. Like, would you say that a lot of the people in your competitive network are a small to medium sized business? Like, I guess the first question is also how big is your team right now, or is it just you as like the main person and then you?
No, we are a small team in place. So
right,
a couple of
so like how many people?
Around 7-8. The in-house.
That's not small. That's pretty big for a production company.
I was gonna say.
It is. That's called a small.
That's medium. That's a
they
hard medium.
We don't want
medium
to raise now if we say something else.
that's like standard medium sized business. Because
I want to say 7. Yeah, but but we do rely on contractors. Yeah. And I'm never ashamed to say that because there are many reasons. Number one is that good talent is never on permanent terms. This is not only exclusive to UAE. I believe it works everywhere. A powerful talent would never want to be a part of a company if he's number one making good money, number two is creative, and he doesn't want to stop anywhere. So good talent is always for hire, and we try to work with the best, always try to secure the best. Let's say we call them freelance, freelancers who would work on contract basis with us. But we also retain some certain kind of in-house for different size of projects, especially that, as I said, you have to sometimes work with multiple sized projects. It's not always the same size. Being a small company, you land big projects, you land sometimes medium sized. Now we try not to land small ones because they are more time consuming than creative and than productive. But if needed, then yeah. And second reason that plays a major role is seasonality. And at least industry-wise, our industry is kind of very seasonal, and seasonal in a crazy way. Like, July, August, September, you're safe to go anywhere, take a vacation and leave. You're not going to miss a lot. So these 3 months are kind of like the official creative's vacation. That's why everybody just flee the country. But also around maybe 2 months post-Christmas to maybe February, it's a Muslim country. So also Ramadan, it's kind of like not much work to do type of months. And what comes after, like Eid and so. So we calculated it. I think out of 12, you have 7 working months.
Oh,
and
wow.
5 of working on deals, securing proposals, doing some submissions, but not actually shooting. Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
For us, it's July and August are slow months. And then September, everyone comes back from their summer vacation and there's a lot of year-end stuff. So it's busy, busy time.
January is also sometimes quiet, depending on
But there's a lot of stuff that's like being prepped in January.
Yeah, it's all pre-production and contract making. So yeah, it's like not much shooting in January, but a lot of admin and selling.
Well, yeah, a lot of admin. Admin is all the time because that's one of the differences between here and maybe Europe. I'm French, by the way, also. So in France, août or August is kind of like a no-brainer. Companies actually lock their doors and leave. It's not like some employees are there. No, they all leave together. You call them, no one is answering. So we don't have that here. You have always people that are replacing people while they are away. So business is always going. And throughout the non-season, like out of season, we do admin work. We do kind of all proposals and stuff. Yeah. You guys are in production, so you know that 70% of the work is pre-approval. Once you're approved, it's easy peasy. Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, let's start creating. Let's do the script. Let's do the blah, blah, blah. Shoot, done. But most of the time was consumed by like the back and forth thing of what's happening with the client. Yeah.
Let's kind of see how you got your company to like seven people. Like, what was that process like for you? Because I mean, you started later than us. You started in 2017, right? You said,
yeah, around 2018. Yeah,
2018. Oh, okay. So to go from in the span of seven years, like to seven employees, that's pretty impressive. Like, how did you find yourself growing to that stage? Did you have any like accelerator moments, or was there something unique?
Major
that
contracts.
Happened?
So first, when I started, I wanted to start with a small team, and me as a creator first. So even I used to be shooting myself because I did grow in this industry, and I'm a director of photography one way or another. So when I used to film, I considered myself part of the crew, and for that, I needed to secure first my post-production team. So these are the only people that I can't actually rely on freelance. I have to have the team who understand the style, understand the work, understand the kind of footprint that we walk by. So so these are always the first team members. And then, of course, admin work needs to be done because I try always to run away from it. So this is where we look for our second mother, and that's always our main booking coordinator and admin. And she has to be a woman because we need someone to take care of us all boys. And
need some balance.
Exactly, it's a balance.
Can't be just a locker room, you know.
Throughout the years, so around 2020, one of the biggest talents that I worked with, his name is Ismail, came to me because I worked with him for long years, and he's a creative, crazy photographer and videographer. So I used to work with him on project basis first, and then one day we became good friends, and then he came and told me, I want to be part of it, and not just work with you on contract. I want it in. I want to be part of it. I like the way you guys are. I like the way you run things. I like the way that this is built, and I want to be part of it. And I couldn't have been happier to partner with someone like him, because one thing that stops me a bit from partnering with investors is like, I like to partner with someone who understands industry, not just understand spending on the industry. Yeah, understand the challenges, understand that someone to go to where you're so frustrated from what's happening, for example. And he was it. So now one more person added to the team. And then some changes through the years. I don't remember all the milestones, but I think it was a journey where we built up. So I don't want to go through the kind of cliche terms of being a family and whatnot, but we're friends. We're all friends. It's how it should be. Like, for example, we don't go to office. We have the office, but whoever wants to go to office, go to office. No one is asked to go to office. We actually try to make it all easy for everybody to access whatever they want, especially that we deal with footage. So we have a lot of servers to upload and offload footage from, and you know what footage are like. So it's always like work to your convenience and work on your task. Don't stop at anything, and like own your responsibility. Be accountable, and this is where everything really flourished for us. So it's never about who was responsible for this, who was responsible for that. This is your task. You know what it is. You deadline it. And if we are good on deadlines together, then the rest is yours. So it's more of no one feels like they're trapped with their job, but more of they love their job, even though it comes with a lot of difficulties. So it's not a walk in the park for sure.
No, it definitely sounds like you've gotten a good unit put together, but like what we're curious also about is how you got it to the point that you were able to bring in these people, right? Because the one thing that a lot of people in our industry is always toying with, especially like, you know, if you're starting your own business, is like, okay, now there's one or two of us, maybe, you know, we're getting a lot of projects coming in, we're hiring freelancers, but what were the business decisions or the business factors that allowed you to make the decision to start expanding into bigger teams? Like, what was the big push?
Always the feasibility. So any particular task that was assigned to, let's say, a temporary or a freelance that was jeopardized for some reason, the decision always follows with, this has to be done by a team member, not by someone from outside the company. So, quick example, you work with a great editor, and that editor one day stopped responding for some reason, and you're in the middle of a project. And yeah, it happens, because freelancers, number one, they tend to suddenly lose grip of some stuff, and sometimes they get involved in personal shit that they don't even inform you about. It barely happened, maybe, in my life, but it happened. And when it did, I was like, okay, so this is where I'm not in control. The company is not in control. And we lose face. We don't only lose a project. Losing a project is always easy. You can always bail in the middle of it and return back your pay and save yourself from the whole hustle. But when you do that, you lost face in front of your client. You're done. So, and what hurts you is that you guys are not like that. You're not reckless. You care. The only thing that you lost control of, or the part where you lost grip, is where you relied on someone who wasn't as involved as yourself. So, for that particular reason, we started, I was always thinking of, okay, what are the areas that I can't just keep relying on outsiders or outsourcers? These are the areas where I have to work with people, even if I know where you're coming from. Also, having to be stuck with like a specific responsibility and having to always be sustainable with payroll, this is not, it's not easy. A small company that works on seasons, it's problematic.
7 months.
It is. But on the other hand, yes, if we just maybe found our formula, I think the formula did work. But it's not always raining roses. There are many difficulties that we pass through, and even cash flow issues sometimes. But as long as we know the kind of formula that keeps the ship moving. I think we're good. Yeah, you need a small family to take care of you. Especially when it comes to separating creative from client fronting. This is one of the problems that I developed a knowledge of over my career. You gotta separate your creative from your client fronting, front end. You gotta, because clients sometimes, because of an urgency or because of lack of knowledge, they disrupt the whole creative process without knowing. They actually self-sabotage the project, okay, their project, because of stressing on small things. Like, for example, stressing on the delivery has to be after an hour, not tomorrow morning. Why? Because this is this is how it has to be. But just that creative is stuck somewhere. He needs to just fix a small thing to give you that perfect like result. It's not always scientific. It's not 1 + 1 = 2 in creatives. Mind block is problematic. Let's say mental state is a lot of plays a big part. So having a team is mainly just to create a small shield. So even if some of our creatives, many of our creatives, are outsourcers or are freelancers that pros that we work with here, but having a small team shields them from having to work or to deal with small stuff, and allow and also your team, when they learn about you, they are part of you. They learn how to take, let's say, how do I put it? Okay, so briefs. Okay, in production, we call it briefs or inquiry, many terms. Client brief is never a brief. It's short from a brief. It's more of a casual talk over the phone. They never give you all the information, never. Actually, you receive minimum information that I find it surprising that many people are okay or are capable of budgeting over a call. That's impossible. I need a lot of information to do that. So having a small team that has the know-how and build it over years shields you from mistakes like that. Yeah. And I'm talking about mistakes that happen to us a lot. Over budgeting, under budgeting, plus, you know, because of misunderstanding or because feeling being under pressure from the inquirer to give up figures. You know, it's always like if you give up the number, you either win or lose. It's a kind of a flip a coin type thing.
Yeah.
So, this is not going to happen if you don't have your team that cares. That's where I know that we need that, even a small team, but we need a small team to take care of it.
I really like how you said clients self-sabotaging the project. It's such a good way to word it, because that happens so often.
So true.
It happens always, yeah.
Sometimes they come into inquiries with like outrageous demands when they really don't need all that. And then you quote for that, and then that was it. But in reality, they needed like maybe 20% of what they were demanding.
20% sometimes is a overstatement. Yeah.
It's like they wanted the moon and back in terms of production level, and then in the reality, they were like, "Oh, we just needed like a quick talking head." It's like, why didn't you start with that?
My example for this is always they call. Do you have like, you know, the big sword for like the end of times war, and we'd be like, yeah, okay, we need it because we want to butter our bread. Oh my god that's exactly how it works.
That's pretty funny.
I like to call it hunting, trying to swat a fly with a bazooka. That's what I like to
100%. Yeah, that is the example.
I'm just wondering, do you like in terms of sales, do you do a lot of outbound stuff or do you rely a lot on inbound?
That is a great question, and mostly inbound. We work digitally mostly on inbound channels. You know, you name it, all kind of inbound channels, mostly organic, because it's kind of misleading. It doesn't work well with our industry. Now, because we are a very B2B entity, and when I mean very B2B, like we receive inquiries from individuals for productions that we don't take. And not because we hate to work with them, actually, we usually encourage them not to work with us, because we tell them, like, this project is more personal and you're gonna be hit with a big bill. So I don't think that's what you want. And we sometimes end up giving out some freelance numbers for them to call, to reach to, because they only want some small stuff. So being B2B, we work with the 9-to-5ers. We don't work with whoever is awake at every time. We work with people who go to work and come back from work. Corporate. We usually are operational only with them. Even we never found the necessity to work in the weekend, where many production houses do. But we never did. We work with the people in executives, people who work for companies. And for that, inbound is the thing. Now, of course, we do some kind of outbound. We have our own social work to do. But mostly, that's the decision that we had to make a long time ago, which is, we are content creators. What kind of content should we create for ourselves? That was the question, yeah? Because, yeah, we create content for people. And, like, should we just leave it open, or should we find a way? And the answer was always, because we create content for others, we felt that it would just be weird for us to create content, like, you know, proper content for us. Our content online, which is kind of like awareness raising of brand awareness work or stuff, outbound channels as possible. It's always just either showcasing work in categories, in project bases, or behind the scenes. People love behind the scenes. They love to see the fuss around equipment and stuff like that. Actually, most of our leads, new leads, are digitally generated. So we don't have, let's say, a physical or like a sales force that go out. We rely mainly on digital channels, inbound like digital channels to generate leads. Yeah.
Like Google and SEO type stuff mostly?
Yeah, this kind of stuff.
That's how I found you.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's working.
It worked.
It inbounded a podcast. That wasn't on your bingo card for this year.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess, like, what's next for you? What are you looking to do in the next little while? What are your big goals?
Or like over the next year or 2 years? Or
great. Okay. Business wise, I want. I hope for us to grow and to sustain and to be larger than life, if possible. But personally, on business capacity, I would like to distance myself a bit from anything but creative. That's why my title, by the way, was, okay, funny story. I started off as a CEO and I downgraded immediately. I found that, oh my God, there is a lot comes to. So I'm like, no, I'm no CEO, I'm head of production. And then over the years, I was like, okay, still too much for me. How about creative director, guys, and you take care of the rest?
It changes.
So yeah, my long-term goals is to distance myself from anything but creative and focus only on creative.
Guys, one day he's gonna reach his goal of being a PA at Anonymous Night Film.
Exactly.
Keep it very simple.
Yes. I want to be the anonymous knight, if I may say.
You know, that's a good idea for like one of, you know, those like hidden boss TV
undercover boss
skits. Yeah, undercover boss thing. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, an anonymous knight. You're like, yeah, you know, like, dress up like exactly. Completely different. It's like, this is our new PA for the day. And this is
actually, I actually think it'd be best if he dresses up as an actual knight and no one knows who it is.
No one knows. Yes.
Shows up on the set.
He is the anonymous knight, guys.
Well, the mascot.
I would love to be anonymous. And but personally, I'm also one thing that business took me away from a bit is filmmaking. So my last film as a director was in 2018. So
yep.
I was taken away by the new responsibilities and by the leading chair, and I did some films throughout the years, but I was producer, I was a director of photography, I was a part of multiple films, but I wasn't on the seat that I live for, which is basically the director seat. So this year, fortunately, we are in the making of a new film. And nice. It's going to be the hit, hopefully. So yeah, hopefully we're starting by Jan. We secured the cast, we secured the crew. And that's what I see myself doing more in the future. I want to go back to where all this started. Actually, this started a long time ago. I made my first film as a director when I was in college, second year. And I'm not talking about a small, like a hobbyist film. I'm talking about a film.
A feature film?
Not a feature. It was a short, but a long form short, around 35 minutes.
I produced.
But when I, like, full crew, full ass crew, and stuff like that. So, I was fortunate enough to be picked up for such a role. I'm not gonna hide it. I was fortunate and lucky enough to be picked up to doing so. Someone noticed my talent and allowed me to do so. But on the other hand, this is what I lived for ever since. This is where, as an engineer, one day I found myself telling them all, ciao, guys, I'm back to filmmaking. I do miss being on that seat. I'm going back to that seat. Yeah.
I really can't believe you were in engineering, because that is like the complete opposite.
Not only that, take this. I worked as a Microsoft certified solutions expert.
It's a long time.
That was my role for 3 years here in UAE. I was so into at IT and systems, and I was certified at many capacities like Cisco, ITIL, and you name it. So I was a consultant in that. And then one day, I found myself stuck. I was writing a film that, because of how many things I have to do a full year, I couldn't finish it. So wow. I was like, yeah, this is it. Went to my manager, told her, hi, I'm out. She's like, oh, no, you're kidding. I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. I'm out for good.
Oh, look at you now. Look at you now.
Look at me now. Regretting it.
Regretting it ever since.
It was hard being successful in Dubai, you know?
Entrepreneurship is absolutely dark as hell. But yeah, I enjoyed every bit of it, even though it was really hard over the years.
Yeah, no, it definitely is like a rewarding path.
Wait, so you went from you had a secure full-time job, and then you just did you go straight into freelancing and then start your own thing, or how did that?
Yeah, I had no other option. So when I left my job, I had two titles in my name. I told you I started doing films back at school. So I wanted to enter this industry, but I had nothing in my name. I'm a director that is barely considered a starter. And I write stuff. I write films. But again, this is not enough to make ends meet in this industry. So what should I have done? What should I do? I spent a full year on my savings after.
learning, video production, video editing, color correction and grading. I had to buy my own equipment and start making short films myself just to get something rolling. And a year after, or like 11 months particularly, I was hired for my first freelance job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great. It sounds like you hustled the first year. And
I hustled for many years. But
we're all still hustling. You know, it's the thing.
We are all still hustling. Yeah, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I think we can probably end it here. So, the Anonymous Night. I guess because you wanted to get the. Well, how did you come up with Anonymous Night? Was it just random
with
words
the AK?
That fit the initials of your name? Or
no, it wasn't random. So here's the thing. Anonymous kind of stuck with me since V for Vendetta, long time ago.
Ah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it got stuck with me. That name on its own, an English word that sounds so cool for me. It's like anonymous. It's, you know, it's hard. It's big.
It's anonymous.
And it's anonymous. I like being anonymous. And back then, when I was a freelance, first years, you know, the years that I told you about, I was working under my own name. I was Amar Khani. And even my website back then, as a freelancer, was Amar Khani Films. Literally, .com. I think we lost ownership of that domain now. So, and my email was amar@amarkani.com, amarkanifilms.com. It was the weirdest thing ever. It's like, I hated when people ask me, what's your email? It sounds so funny and so full of myself.
Say but, it twice.
And so when I was coming up with the name, I was also asking people around me. I had a small team, even though they were all freelancers like me, but I tend to create teams around me always. I'm always a good coordinator. So I was like, okay, guys, so I like the word anonymous, but anonymous films sounds, you know, sounds just too blunt. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, you're not going to go with Amar Khani Films. I'm like, I don't know. That's, again, too full of myself. People wouldn't like that. A company that is named after me is never going to pick off. But I like the idea of having my initials in it. So AK, and they were like, yeah, but AK has no meaning. I said, who said has no meaning? It has a meaning. It's anonymous night. Works, right?
There you go. Just like that. Huh? And was that around the time the Dark Knight was popular, you know?
Exactly. Probably around that. And also the word
Batman.
Night, the word night itself is kind of, for me also, is a very powerful word because it sounds like night, but it's with the K, silent K, which is pretty awesome. So yeah, it came together just like how many creative thoughts, the best creative thoughts in the world came out of nothing. Yeah, right? Just blue. Of course, I'm not saying that the name is that brilliant. It's a normal name. But that's the story. Initials, wanting my initials, but didn't want it just to mean one thing. I wanted to mean more. And my son, my only son, his name is Adam. So he's only three now. But I'm thinking of like, yeah, one day, He's gonna take it.
He can take over.
Like, grow up and say, "Well, it was named after me, and I'm gonna be lost in lost in dirt."
Yeah, there you go,
Adam Knight.
Yeah, I can see it in the future where he's standing there and saying, "Well, being Adam Khani, that's pretty much what the company is about," and I'll be from the other world looking at him and like, "No."
It's funny. So,
yeah.
All right.
Well, Amar, thank you so much.
Hold on. I gotta do the social shout out. So if you guys want to find Amar on Instagram, go to AK Films AE. So that's at AK Films AE. Mm-hmm. And then his website is akfilms.ae.
Yeah. We're all about AE.
.com. Not .com. Yeah. We're expanding past .com now, okay? These are uncharted
we're
waters.
Expanding past .com.
With different
we're
words
all
at the
.ae
end.
Now, yeah.
It's shorter, so.
Yeah.
Shorter. Sounds better.
Yeah.
But yeah, Amr, it was great to have you on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate you sharing your origin story and how Anonymous Knight came to be. And,
thank you for inviting me. Actually, thank you for allowing me to express many of, like, you know, the thoughts that are hidden. Because, yeah, let's face it, there aren't much times where you get to go back and say it all. And, I'm a talker, so thank you for listening to me as well.
No, that's good. I appreciate that. It saves me the
editing.
The effort of having to come up with the words. He just went off, and I'm like, perfect, okay.
We ask one question, and he answers three other ones.
Three.
Absolutely, yeah, that's me. I take over.
Clients so must be happy with that.
Thank you for listening to me and for having me. And I really love what you do. I had a chance to go through many of your podcasts, and I really appreciate that I'm now one of your guests. Thank you so much.
Yeah, making Creators Grab Coffee history.
Thank you.
Part of the collage now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Creators Grab Coffee. Please make sure to follow and engage with us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, and your favorite podcast app.
Creators Grab Coffee is created by Labs Productions, a video production company based in Toronto, Canada.
Creators Grab Coffee is also sponsored by...
My name is Miran. Welcome to Canada Film Equipment. We are a boutique rental house based in Toronto. We are here to help you guys out with all production sizes. Feel free to contact us to get a quote if you are a production house and you're looking for lighting, camera packages, or lighting and group van packages. You can see our contact information in the link below. We're more than happy to help you guys out. Make sure you follow and subscribe to creativesgrabcoffee.com. Thank you.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Matt. Welcome to Audio Process. We are a boutique audio company doing location sound, sound design, post sound, ADR, Foley. We service equipment. We do all your audio needs here in Toronto. We got you covered. Come on down, audioprocess.ca. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and all of the other internet things to creativesgrabcoffee.com. They'll be waiting for you, I'll be waiting for you, and we're all gonna have a real good time.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.